that says vedabase.com/sb/1/3. So you can click on that and you can come to text 28. So this the chapter is entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. So far, in this particular chapter, all the different incarnations of the Lord have been described. And the first there were different incarnations. The first, the Purusha avatars were described as Karana Dakshai Vishnu, Shiro Dakshai Vishnu, and Garbho Dakshai Vishnu. And then after that, the Leela avatars of the Lord were described, right from Parshuram to the different incarnations. Even empowered incarnations like Narad Rishi and Narayan Rishi and Lord Kapila Dev and son of Atri also, and then Yagna, King Rishabha, and then King Prithu, and then the Manus, and then the different incarnations that came in the Samudra Manthan Leela, right from the tortoise incarnation of the Lord, Kurma incarnation, to Dhanvantri who got the Ayurvedic knowledge, and then also the incarnation of Narsingadev, Vamandev, all these different incarnations have been described. And then when we come to text 28, it says, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So of all the, this is a very, very significant verse, and Jiva Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have written volumes and volumes of literature explaining this one particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28. So we understand that avatara means someone who descends. So one who descends. But here Krishna descends as his plenary portions and portions of plenary portions as the previous incarnations that have been mentioned. And all those incarnations that come, they come expanding from Shiro Dakshai Vishnu, who lives in the Shir Sagar. So Shiro Dakshai Vishnu is an expansion of Lord Shri Krishna, and he, in every universe there is one Shiro Dakshai Vishnu who lives in the Shir Sagar, the milk ocean. So we would have seen in Ramayana and Mahabharata, you know, that whenever the devtas were in trouble, they'll go to one Vishnu who's there in a milk ocean, and he's lying down on his, he's lying down in the Vishnu pose, and the Sheshnag is there. So the Vishnu that all the devtas go to when they need help is the Shiro Dakshai Vishnu. And it is through that Shiro Dakshai Vishnu, all the different incarnations of the Lord come in that particular universe. He is the feature, right? But when Lord Krishna descends, he does not need to expand through his own expansion, Shiro Dakshai Vishnu. He comes down as himself. So it's not that Krishna is also coming out from Shiro Dakshai Vishnu, who has been created by Krishna himself. No, when Krishna descends himself as Krishna, he comes himself. Unlike when he comes as Vamandev or any of the other incarnations, he expands from Shiro Dakshai Vishnu. But when he comes down as himself, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Right? So that's what it is said in this verse. That the Lord is the original personality of Godhead. He is the fountainhead of all the different incarnations of the Lord. So even Shiro Dakshai Vishnu is coming out from Lord Shri Krishna only. And from Shiro Dakshai Vishnu, all the different incarnations are coming out. So ultimately, Lord Krishna is the fountainhead of all the incarnations. And therefore, this verse is very, very important. We'll just read the translation of this verse again. So it's vedabase.com. This link is there in the email that I sent out. There are two links in the email. I forwarded a previous email because I was outside this morning. So in the previous email that I forwarded out, if you read at the bottom, there are two links. Prayers that need to be chanted before reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And then there's a second link saying vedabase.com/en/sb/1/3. So it's the third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can open to that, and for those of you who have the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's an 18 set volume. Some of the books are dark brown, some of them are dark green, some of them are dark blue. And the first book is light blue, and it has some painting on it, like some designs of the different universes and the different Vishnus and the different, so it's a big fat book. All the other volumes look the same size, but the first one is a big fat book. So you can open that book and open to the third chapter, text 28. So we are reading, and so the translation of this verse is all of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Shri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheist. So credit B.R. Chopra. We all know that verse. परित्राणाय साधूनां विनाशाय च दुष्कृतां धर्म संस्थापनाथाय सं भवानि युगे युगे. सो इट सेज अ डिफरेंट थ्री डिफरेंट पर्पसेस द लॉर्ड अचीव्स बाय कमिंग डाउन टू दिस प्लैनेट. सो इट इज परित्राणाय साधूनां, दैट इज टू डिलीवर द पायस पीपल, विनाशाय च दुष्कृतां टू एनहाइलेट द मिसक्रिएंट्स, राइट. So here also it is telling, he appears on different planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. And the Lord incarnates to protect the theists. Paritranaya sadhunam. And dharma sansthapanathaya, to re-establish the principles of religion that have been lost because of the atheistic disturbances that have been caused. So this verse is very important, and last time we also discussed, it will be nice if you can memorize it. So far we have been discussing that. So today we'll try to cover the next three or four verses. I'll request Shalini Mataji to chant the Sanskrit of the of text 29, read the translation and the purport for all of us.
Sure, Mataji. Just give me 1 second. I'll do it. 1 second. पुंसं कृष्णास्तु भगवान स्वयं इंद्रारी
या प्लीज रीड इंद्रारी या
29 माताजी
या 29 वी ऑलरेडी डिड 28
ओके 29 जनम गुहम भगवतो ये एतत् प्रयतो नरा सायं प्रातः सायं प्रातर ग्रनान भक्त्या दुखा ग्रमत विमुच्यते. Translation. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead has declared that anyone who knows the principles of the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord will go back to Godhead after being relieved from this material tabernacle. So simply knowing factually the mysterious way of the Lord's incarnation in this material world can liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, the birth and activities of the Lord as manifested by Him for the welfare of the people in general are not ordinary. They are mysterious. And only by those who carefully try to go deep into the matter by spiritual devotion is the mystery discovered. Thus one gets liberation from material bondage. It is advised, therefore, that one who simply recites this chapter of Bhagavatam, describing the appearance of the Lord in different incarnations, in sincerity and devotion, can have insight into the birth and activities of the Lord. The very word vimukti or liberation indicates that the Lord's birth and activities are all transcendental. Otherwise, simply by reciting them, one could not attain liberation. They are therefore mysterious, and those who do not follow the prescribed regulations of devotional service are not entitled to enter into the mysteries of his birth and activities. Thank you, Mataji. Mataji, do you want me to read the 30th also?
Just 1 minute. No, after this one. So after we'll discuss text 29, then you read the 30th. So we'll just discuss what we read for purport. So, so this verse is very similar to the Bhagavad Gita verse, chapter 4, text 9. And that is, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti stu Arjuna. So it is that whoever can understand, be encouraged to carefully recite the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening. Now, it's not some, it's not like some chalisa part where they say that, oh, if you read this, you get this. Yeah, it's not like, you know, when they, even in those chalisa parts, when that has been said, or even reading this, it is not because, it's not a mundane thing we are going to get relief from. Or it's not like, okay, you know, you read the story of the Lord and then you will be relaxed and you'll get relief from all the miseries of life. No, it's not like that. Because Krishna is also saying the same point in the Bhagavad Gita, when it is Janma Karma Chame Divyam in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 9. And he's telling that one who knows the mysterious nature of my taking birth and my activities, one who can understand that, then, you know, we are eligible to go back to Godhead. Now, what does that understanding mean? We discussed that last time. What we understand is when the Lord appears on this planet, his birth is not a seminal birth like all of us have had. His birth is not ordinary. He is not being born on this planet because he has to go through the reactions, good and bad reactions of his karma. He is taking birth out of his supreme will. The Lord is the supreme autocrat. And he is taking birth out of the supreme will to do, execute the purposes that we discussed in the previous verse. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya jaduskutam, to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to re-establish the principles of religion. So he is taking birth that purpose. So we understand, oh, the Lord is different from me in that regard. I am forced to take birth because of my karma. I am in the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. But the Lord, when he takes birth, he takes birth out of his own sweet will and for certain particular purposes. So when we see that, oh, the Lord takes birth out of his own sweet will, then we feel that, wow, he's in control. I'm not. He is able to control the material energy like this, and he's able to decide his time and place of birth and his activities and everything, and he can control the material energy to further his will. Again, to achieve the same three purposes, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanathaya sambhavani yoge. Gradually, when we keep reading about these pastimes of the Lord, we come to the understanding that, oh, the Lord is the controller of the material energy also. The third level of understanding we get is that, okay, if he is the Lord and he is coming to deliver pious people and he is coming to, you know, so what is my relationship with him? Who am I with respect to the Lord? Like yesterday I passed a video link of the Little Krishna movie to my nephew. Not yesterday. I heard back from them yesterday. My nephew was in Germany. He's about 3 or 4 years old. And I sent his mom the Little Krishna YouTube link so that he could watch that animated movies and relish the pastimes of the Lord. So he has been enjoying the pastimes of the Lord so much, and he's been so much awestruck by that. And one fine day he went and asked him, Mom, what is my relationship with Krishna? He of course doesn't use these words. He doesn't say, what is my relationship with Krishna? He says, Krishna mere kya hai? Oh, similarly, when we hear about the pastimes of the Lord, just like my nephew was watching this Little Krishna movie for weeks together, and finally he's thinking, what is my relationship with him? So when we hearing and reciting about the appearances and disappearances of the Lord, and we read about his word and everything, we also start questioning, what is my relationship with this person, Supreme Personality of Godhead? Or why is he taking so many pains to come to deliver me? So what is my relationship with him? So gradually we understand, oh, I am his part and parcel. I am the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord is all spiritual. And we will discuss that in the next few verses. And so if I am his part and parcel, my nature is also spiritual. Right? You know, it's like pigeon gives birth to pigeon. Crow gives birth to crow. Crow doesn't give birth to peacock. Right? So if they give, you know, they have the same nature. So similarly, if we are part and parcel of the Lord, we also have the same spiritual nature as the Lord. So then that's the third step we agree. Oh, who am I in relation to him? So we come to know, I am his eternal part and parcel. My nature is also spiritual. So then we think, but when the Lord comes in the material nature, he controls the material nature. He is not controlled by the material nature, but when I come to the world, I am controlled by this world, right? I am forced to use the bathroom. I am forced to take birth. I am forced to get diseased. I am forced to be old. I don't want to be old, but I am forced to be old. I am forced to die. And then I am forced, you know, I am controlled. I am attracted to the material energy, and I am completely attached to the different things that I like to do, gross and subtle, in this material world. And I'm suffering. But if the Lord is spiritual and I'm spiritual, why is he completely blissful and untouched even if he's in the material world and I'm still struggling? You know, so then we realize, oh, I'm different from this material world. I'm spirit soul, and my job is to develop a relationship back with the Lord. So therefore, the Lord's birth and activities are all very transcendental. When we recite them regularly, we achieve these, you know, these four levels of understanding. And once we understand I am spirit soul and the Lord is spirit soul, my job is to rekindle my relationship. The relationship, my love for the Lord is dormant within my heart. It has been covered by so many different things and I'm getting distracted by everything. But the purpose of my birth is to rekindle that relationship with the Lord. So then we come to that understanding and gradually we attain liberation from the modes of material nature and liberation from birth, disease, old age and death. Because when we engage in devotional service, and Harivilas Prabhu has created a very wonderful facility here, all of us, so that we can do whatever, engage ourselves according to our nature and psycho, or rather according to our psychophysical nature, we can engage ourselves in the service of the Lord. Get to text 30 now. Shalini Talwar, please read Sanskrit translation and purport. For Chim 1 point.
Etad rupam bhagavato he arupasya chit atmana maya gunir virachitam mahadadati bhir atmani. Translation. The conception of the virat universal form of the Lord as appearing in the material world is imaginary. It is to enable the less intelligent and neophytes to adjust to the idea of the Lord having form. But actually the Lord has no material form, purpose. The conception of the Lord known as the Vishwarupa or the Virat Rupa is clearly not mentioned along with the various incarnations of the Lord, because all the incarnations of the Lord mentioned above are transcendental and there is not a tinge of materialism in their bodies. There is no difference between the body and self as there is in the conditioned soul. The Virat Rupa is conceived for those who are just neophyte worshippers. For them, the material Virat Rupa is presented, and it will be explained in the second chanto. In the Virat Rupa, the material manifestations of different planets have been conceived as his legs, hands, etc. Actually, all such descriptions are for the neophytes. The neophytes cannot conceive of anything beyond matter. The material conception of the Lord is not found in the list of his actual forms. As Paramatma or Supersoul, the Lord is within each and every material form, even within the atoms, but the outward material form is but an imagination, both for the Lord and for the living being. The present forms of the conditioned souls are also not factual. The conclusion is that the material conception of the body of the Lord as Virat is imaginary. And have original spiritual bodies.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. I'll request some of, like, I think we're hearing some sounds. It'll be nice if you have forgotten to go on mute, please go on mute. It happens sometimes. Thank you, Shalini Mataji. So here, now, this is something where the conception of the Virat or the universal form of the Lord has been described. Now the Virat Rupa is something that the Lord showed to Arjuna also in the battlefield of the Kurukshetra. Right? And the Virat Rupa is something the Lord also showed in the assembly of the Kurus once. Now this Virat Rupa is something that is as a concept. Like, as you can see, the translation itself says the conception of the Virat, universal form of the Lord. So it is a concept created so that neophytes who are materially engrossed can see things in material nature as related to the Lord. And then when they see everything as related to the Lord, then they gradually give up the tendency of exploitation. When we know that something is possessed by somebody else, then you gradually lose the conception of exploiting. Now this thing is explained in the second canto, and especially in the first two chapters of the second canto. So basically Parikshit Maharaj asks a question to Sukadev Goswami, and he says, please describe in full detail how and where the mind has to be applied, how the conception can be fixed, so that the dirty things in a person's mind can be removed. Now, we all know that we got to fix our mind on the Lord. That is the only place, only way we will be getting peace and happiness in our life, and we'll be able to give that peace and happiness to others also. When we are connected with the Lord very nicely and strongly, when we are very fixed in our relationship with the Lord, very settled and feeling deep in our relationship with the Lord, then the material upheavals don't affect us so much. That is one byproduct. The second byproduct is because we have seen that light, and because we are feeling that connection with the Lord, we are able to help others also get that connection with the Lord. But to develop that we are able to help others get that connection with the Lord and help them also become fixed in their relationship and help them come out from this material distressful cycle. Now, it's very hard because we desire so many things. It's very hard. We hear so many times that, yes, you know, we got to chant Hare Krishna very nicely and very deeply, and we got to, you know, develop our relationship with the Lord through serving Him and doing all of that. But the mind takes us in so many different ways. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj asks this question to Sukadeva Goswami, and he says that how can all these dirty things that distract me, how can they be removed so that my mind, mental conception can be fixed? Now, the dirty things that Parikshit Maharaj is referring to is basically the different desires we have in our life at the gross and subtle level. And they distract us and they take us in different places. Now, because basically we are materially attracted. We are very attracted to matter. Just like a moth or a fly is attracted to light, we are attracted to matter. And we are attracted, and the conception of our life is mostly material. We are gradually trying to bring it spiritual. We have that desire and we are working on changing our conception from material to spiritual. Now, because our conception of life is material, the Lord has given this conception of the Virat Rupa, where whatever material things we see, matter we see, we can see it in connection with the Lord. And that is described in the second canto, first chapter. And I'll just give you a few examples of that, where you can say that the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body, the Virat Rupa. The trees are the hairs of his body, and the omnipotent air is his breath. The passing ages are his movements, and his activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Now, suppose if I understand, but as a gross materialist, if I understand that the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body, if I gradually see, these rivers are the veins of the Lord's gigantic body, then I'll be more careful about how I treat that particular river. You see the Yamuna River is drying up, and you know there are places where the river does not exist in its own path because of all the dams and all those factories which are releasing pollutants in the water and all. Yamuna is supposed to be the holiest river. It has Lord Shri Krishna's dust in it because Lord Shri Krishna bathed in that river so many times and performed so many sporting pastimes with his friends. But now that river is so polluted and so bad, and you know there are so many devotees trying to clean up that river. So, but if those gross materialists who are releasing the pollutants or the government, they understand that no, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body, then they will be respectful to that river. They will not understand that, Lord Shri Krishna was a person, he is Bhagwan himself and he played in this, and therefore I must not dirty the place. For them to reach that level of understanding is going to be very, very hard. But if they gradually understand that, there is somebody more supreme to me and this river represents his veins, then they will be careful towards not exploiting. Or as it is said here, the trees are the hairs of his body. Then you'll be very careful. These trees are the hairs of the universal form, the Lord. You know, let me be careful. I don't want to cut these trees. I want to be respectful towards these trees. I'll take only as much as I need. I won't do more than that. And then if you read, and the omnipotent air is the Lord's breath. That means the Virat Rupa's breath. He's breathing in and he's breathing out. Then you'll be very careful about how we pollute the air around us. So, for a gross materialist who does not understand anything beyond matter and who's too full of himself, but he has some conception that there is some higher power beyond me, and he can understand that, okay, this Virat Rupa, you know, everything that I see, he is of that particular higher power. He may not know who that higher power is, but if he can understand like this, then wherever he focuses, he will see the Lord. And gradually, he will be able to curb his materialistic desires. And he'll be able to be more disciplined in his life. He'll be more careful about how he's dealing with matter and what activities he's doing in matter. So that's what Prabhupada is writing now in the middle of the paragraph, in the purport. The neophytes cannot conceive of anything beyond matter. The material conception of the Lord is not counted in the list of his factual forms. But, and then, you know, gradually as this person understands that the Virat Rupa is there and everything is there, then he will gradually be able to see that, gradually he'll come to the understanding that, you know, the Lord as Super Soul or Paramatma is there in each and every anu, in each and every atom. So gradually he will come to a better understanding of the Lord, right? And it will also help such people adjust to the fact that the Lord has a form. Many people cannot understand that the Lord has a form. They think the Lord is formless and we have to meditate on nothing. But the Lord has a form, so when they understand that, oh, these are the veins of the Lord, this is the hair of the Lord, the breath of the Lord, the eyelid of the Lord, the eyeball of the Lord, the nostrils, you know, all this is described in the second canto. And they gradually adjust to that, oh, yes, yes, the Lord has a form. But actually, as the translation says, the Lord has no material form. The Lord has a form which is spiritual. This is just a conception. The Lord's form, he has a body like us, but it is a spiritual, Satchidananda body. Our body is subject to birth, disease, old age and death, but the Lord has a spiritual body that is not affected by material effects and changes. We'll read text 31. Amuta Mahariji, can you read the Sanskrit translation and purpose?
Okay, Mataji. Thank you. Yata Nabashi Maha Ago Renurva Parthivo Naile Evam Drashtari Drishyatvam Drishyatvam Aropitam Abuddhibihi. Translation: clouds and dust are carried by the air, but less intelligent persons say that the sky is cloudy and the air is dirty. Similarly, they also implant material bodily conceptions on the spirit self. Purport by Srila Prabhupada: it is further confirmed herein that with our material eyes and senses, we cannot see the Lord who is all spirit. We cannot even detect the spiritual spark which exists within the material body of the living being. We look to the outward covering of the body or subtle mind of the living being, but we cannot see the spiritual spark within the body. So, we have to accept the living being's presence by the presence of his gross body. Similarly, those who want to see the Lord with their present material eyes or with the material senses are advised to meditate on the gigantic external feature called the Virat Roop. For instance, when a particular gentleman goes in his car, which can be seen very easily, we identify the car with the man within the car. When the president goes out in his particular car, we say, "That is the president." For the time being, we identify the car with the president. Similarly, less intelligent men who want to see God immediately without necessary qualification are shown first the gigantic material cosmos as the form of the Lord, although the Lord is within and without. The clouds in the sky and the blue of the sky are better appreciated in this connection. Although the bluish tint of the sky and the sky itself are different, we conceive of the color of the sky as blue. But that is a general conception for the layman only. Hare Krishna Mataji, do you want me to continue?
Just after this, I think I will read the next two.
Yes,
yeah, thank you. So here, basically the point is, as we read in the previous verse, that the Lord does not have a material form, right? So just like we think that the bluish, we think that the car, we identify the car with the president, similarly, the less intelligent people, they cannot see God immediately because there is no qualification. But then they can see the gigantic material manifestation of the Lord, and then we can think, oh, this is the Lord. Just like one can think that the car, that the, when the car of the president is going, we are saying, yeah, the president is going. The person may not know all the details of the president as a person, what are his likes and dislikes, what kind of a person he is, what kind of work he is doing, what kind of charity work he is doing, or what kind of policy work he is doing. But when the person, the layman, will see the car, he will know how the president is going. So similarly, when the less intelligent people are given the Virat Rupa conception, they understand, oh, this is the Lord. But gradually they will be able to give up that conception. So now, and like the last line in the translation also of this verse, it says, similarly, they also implant material bodily conceptions on the spirit self. So just like the car is not the president, but it still indicates that the president is going. But the car is not the president. So this material body is not our self, but we think the material body is the self. So we have to come out of that understanding gradually. And that will happen by chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in devotional service. So now the next few verses, 32, 33 and 34, are basically the training that everything is spirit. So the next verse is, so the first two verses that we just read, the previous two verses, are about the Virat Rupa conception of the Lord. Now this particular thing, this particular verse indicates the Brahman realization of the Lord. And I'll just read the translation for the interest of time. So translation for text 32. Beyond this gross conception of form, which is the Virat Rupa, is another subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard and unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond this subtlety, otherwise he could not have repeated words. So purport, as the gross cosmic manifestation is conceived as a gigantic body of the Lord, so also there is a conception of his subtle form which is simply realized without being seen, heard or manifested. But in fact, all these gross and or subtle conceptions of the body are in relation with the living beings. The living being has a spiritual form, which is as a spirit soul, which is beyond this gross material or subtle psychic existence. But we consider this as all in all because we are marginal and we get so affected by everything that's happening around us. The gross body and psychic functions cease to act as soon as the living being leaves the visible gross body. So as soon as a person leaves the body, then none of those things that were affecting them in that particular life affect them anymore. Those situations don't affect them anymore because they are out of that situation. They are out of those relationships. They are out of that particular type of body and everything. But the mind continues and the karma continues. So when we get another body, we have different set of problems. It is replacement. So in fact, we say that the living being has gone away because he is unseen and unheard. Even when the gross body is not acting, when the living being is in sound sleep, we know that he is within the body by his breathing, right? So then this is what it is being said, the difference between a dead body and a body that is sleeping is that the spirit soul is not there. So the conclusion is that the Lord is eternally existent in his transcendental form, which is neither gross nor subtle like that of the living beings. His body is never to be compared to the gross and subtle bodies of the living being. All such conceptions of God's body are imaginary. So the Lord does not have a gross body of the Virat Rupa. That's just a concept, a template for us to understand and connect. And the Lord does not have a subtle body of mind, intelligence and false ego that we carry from birth after birth. Right? So even if the spirit soul leaves the particular body, he may not go in that same body, physical body, but he still, the subtle body still goes, the mind, intelligence and false ego still carries forward. Right? The living being has his eternal spiritual form, which is conditioned only by his material contamination. Now in this verse, basically it is being said that a learned soul first sees everything in relationship with matter as through the Virat Rupa conception, and then gradually he sees everything beyond the material varieties. And he understands, no, you know, there is something that has to be eternal. Everything in matter is changing. Something is eternal. And then he gradually starts seeing from that conception. And text 33. Whenever a person experiences by self-realization that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the pure self, at that time he sees himself as well as the Lord. So basically you read about the Lord's pastimes. Gradually you'll understand you are not this body, your spirit soul. Then you are able to experience yourself as different from this body and the mind And at that time, we are able to see himself as a lord. Now, this purport is basically explaining that once we are able to see ourselves without this gross covering that we have, that, hey, we understand I'm not this body, but I'm spirit soul, then we are able to see ourselves properly, which means we are able to see ourselves, our purpose, our eternal role properly, our eternal position properly, that is unchanged by the change of bodies and matter and which planet and which universe we may be in, and we are able to see the Lord as well. But now this is a very, very, very high state of realization. Some of us, I think all of us, would have had such an experience. Even for a split second, I'm definitely sure we would have had such an experience, at least for a split second, while we may be engaging in some kind of service for the Lord. So now this high state is very difficult to attain, where we are able to understand, I'm not this body, I'm spirit, soul. Very difficult to reach. Takes a lot of time. But if we follow the process that is being given for Kali Yuga, see, we cannot meditate on nothing. We cannot meditate on a flame and all those things. It's very hard for this age. And it's good. It will bring us to the point of self-realization, but it will take us a very, very long time. Those processes take a very long time of Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga. They take a very long time for us to get self-realized. That is to understand who I really am, to realize self. It takes a very, very long time for that. So, for us to become indifferent to the needs of the gross body and of the subtle body and the demands of the mind and the tongue and the belly, for that, Prabhupada has given us this entire process. And this process is coming from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. It's about chanting the holy names of the Lord, because it gradually cleanses this conception that we have about ourselves. It makes us realize I'm not this body, I'm the soul. It cleans the mirror of the heart. And then reading Srimad Bhagavatam, like all of us do on Tuesday and Thursday. Because all these things cleanse the heart of the wrong conception we have about ourselves, that I'm this body. No, I'm not this body. I'm spirit soul. I'm part and parcel of the Lord. So we have to gradually, therefore, you know, this particular verse, when we feel this is a very high bar. I don't know when I'll be able to do it, you know. I want to get there because I don't want to be in this miserable existence. I don't want to be in this misery. And I want to be transcendental to whatever is happening to me. Now, this is a very attractive stage to get to, though we are not there right now. The only way to get to is to follow the process of hearing the Lord's pastimes, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the Lord's holy names, eating a diet of prasad, offering service to the Lord through body, mind and words, you know, serving our family, our children, our husbands, and other family members, understanding that they are also part and parcel of the Lord. And we serve them and seeing them in that way. So it gets hard sometimes when people around us don't behave properly or don't react to us properly. That doesn't mean we don't protect ourselves and set boundaries for them. We do, because we're still in this body and we are yet not transcendental to the body. But still, we see them as also as part and parcel of Krishna, and we protect ourselves from their harmful activities. But we still do our services nicely to the people around us, understanding our connection with the Lord and understanding their connection with the Lord. It's not that only I am part and parcel of the Lord. Every living thing I see around me is a part and parcel of the Lord. So we also offer service to people around us, seeing them not as my children or my husband, but seeing them as God's partners, parsons. It can get hard sometimes, but we have to try, and we always remain an association, and we read together, chant together. As Prabhupada writes down towards the end, last five lines of this particular purport, he says, and by culture of transcendental knowledge, when the living being prays to the Lord for deliverance from the clutches of forgetfulness, the Lord by his causeless mercy removes the living being's illusory curtain, and thus he realizes his own self. He then engages himself in the service of the Lord in his eternal constitutional position, becoming liberated from conditioned life. All this is executed by the Lord through external potency or directly by the internal potency. So basically, when we follow the process of devotional service, this culture of transcendental knowledge, and when we pray to the Lord, we of course do the needful, this life,
So we do the needful, whatever is required to do our duties nicely, take care of our children, and in some cases where relationships are difficult, we do the needful that is required to protect ourselves, you know, because we respect ourselves. But when we pray to the Lord, we don't just pray to the Lord to remove us from the difficulties of material life, but we pray to the Lord that, please, you know, help me, you know, get back. Help me resituate myself in my relationship with you. I have forgotten who I am. I have forgotten that I am your servant. I have forgotten that I am not this body. I am not this person. I am not this designation. I am not so and so. But actually, I am just your servant. Please remind me of that position. Remove this illusion, this maya that I am in, and help me realize myself so that I can serve you with great love and devotion and aspire for such a life. So this is something that we do. We do the needful that is required when we are in a difficult material situation. We do whatever is required to protect the situation, to save the situation. But then we fervently pray to the Lord to give us the right intelligence and help us resituate ourselves in our eternal relationship with Him. So we'll just read the translation of the last verse and then I'll leave it open to discussion. So text 34, if the illusory energy subsides, you know, by the living entity taking shelter of the devotional process and the living entity praying to the Lord, and so then the effect of Maya goes away and the person gets situated more and more in his real identity. So if the illusory energy subsides and the living entity becomes fully enriched, is full of Chit, he's full of Chit, fully enriched with knowledge by the grace of the Lord, then he becomes at once enlightened with self-realization and thus becomes situated in his own glory. So once you get that, you know, once the living entity desires and aspires to achieve the Lord and to develop that relationship with the Lord, and then the living entity engages in the processes, you know, to re-spiritualize oneself, to associate with like-minded people, to engage in the processes of bhakti. And why do we say bhakti? It seems very trivial because it's so simple, but actually it's the one that will get us fastest to the Lord and fastest to whatever we are aspiring for in spiritual life, as compared to dhyana yoga, that's meditating on the tip of the nose or meditating between the eyes or meditating on nothing. You know, all those things are hard. They seem, you know, hard, like material world, we think that hard things, if we do the hard things, then we will get success in life. No, but in spiritual life, you do the simple things of bhakti. And just take the Lord's name, chant the holy names of the Lord on your beads. We all have been trained as children also when we were young. We had examples in front of us where people were chanting on their beads. So when we chant the holy name of the Lord, and we engage in the process of the bhakti, chanting, dancing, serving, feasting, offering bhoga to the Lord, eating a diet of prasad, serving the devotees of the Lord, helping bring more and more people to the lotus feet of the Lord, then gradually the Lord is pleased with us and He helps us come, because He sees us trying to come out of this maya, trying to give up sense gratification, trying to stop running after illusory things. We're trying to situate ourselves in a relationship with the Lord. Then the Lord sees us making an effort, so he helps us become strong so that we can fight against Maya. He helps us overcome Maya, and once we become more and more enlightened, Jnana Deepena Bhaswata, that's what he says in text and chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita. So for those whom he sees that they're trying to come closer to him, he gives them Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. He, through the shining lamp of knowledge, removes all their ignorance of who I am, who the Lord is. And then once we become enlightened like that, we become situated in our own glory. So now we will spend the few 10 minutes that we have understanding what does it mean to be situated in His own glory. What is the meaning of that? So we'll just take a call of who all are there. I know Amutha Mataji is there on the call, and so is Shali Talwar Mataji. And who else is there? Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Hare Bol. Anyone else on the phone?
Yes. Hi.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Sangeeta. And who else?
people are on mute. Maybe they are at work or they are with babies. Anyway, so we just wanted to understand, like, let's think about this. What does it mean? Thus situated in his own glory. What glory is being talked about over here? Sangeeta, would you like to share?
Yeah, I think mere glory, I think in the literal sense, I guess it means glory means the ecstatic feeling of having, of feeling the Lord within himself. Is that what it means? Because he's already self-realized and, due to, all the knowledge of, due to the knowledge of absolute truth. So now he is in his own glory, in the sense he is in a transcendental mode of, of serving Krishna, and so he knows what his constitutional position is in the Bhagavad.
Yes, correct. So very well answered. Thank you so much, Sangeeta. So we're all after trying to get some glory. At least I am. Or at least outside, let me not say we are all after. People on this call are very elevated. But outside people, you see, everyone is trying to get some glory. Everyone is either trying to be proved right and thus get a glory, or somebody is trying to get some name and fame, somebody is trying to make money, somebody is trying to get, we're all trying for some glory. But now here, generally people are trying to get some glory. But here, and we make an effort towards getting something in our life. We have some goal. It may not be some glory we're after, but it's some goal we're after in our life. And we try to get it. But here, as Sangeeta has explained, when a living entity understands who he is, who the Lord is, then he's situated in his own glory. And what is his own glory? The real glory, the real position. That is, I'm a servant of Krishna. Right? And the last line of the purport explains very well, Prabhupada explains, when a living being is thus graced by the Lord, he is placed in his proper constitutional position, that is of an eternal servant of the Lord, to enjoy eternal spiritual life. Now, it's a conception, at least I have, that if I give up this particular pattern of thought that I have, I might lose something. Or if I give up this particular way of life that I've been used to for the last 33 years, if I give it up, I might lose something. But actually, we are doing disservice to ourselves by identifying with matter. We're actually not able to achieve the full impact of what we are capable of as persons when we identify ourselves materially. But we're able to achieve ourselves, our goals, fully when we understand our constitutional position as an eternal servant of the Lord. I heard in one lecture in Vrindavan by Kadam Kanan Goswami Maharaj when I was over there. The lecture was just 15 minutes Bhagavatam class. But I still remember so many things from that lecture. It was very, very fully potent with so many points. One point I remember from the lecture is the functions of the living entity, the jiva, the spirit soul, the eternal servant of Krishna, are dormant within the living entity, within the material body. So the functions of the spirit soul become dormant when it takes to the material body, because we are limited by the material body for what we can do for the Lord. We are not only limited by the material body, but then based on the conceptions we have about life, we further limit ourselves. And like say psychologists also say, I'll just give you one example of how we limit ourselves. We think, I can't do this. We're scared of doing something because of maybe some past fearful experiences we had about something. So then we develop this conception that, no, I can't do this. I can't be successful in this. So then that blocks us from achieving our potential. So now like that, we have many, many such conceptions because we are in this material body and we identify with the material body. But gradually, when we are able to give up this conception that I am this body and we are situated in our own glory of spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna, we are able to really do so much more for the Lord. So this is what we wanted to discuss today. It is a little technical today. Today's verse is word technical. And I think it will be a little bit more technical for the next couple of verses also. But the fourth chapter, which we will get to very soon, is very interesting. It's basically the conversation, it's about Narad Muni's life
and a conversation between Narad Muni and Vyasadev, and also how Srimad Bhagavatam comes about and the inspiration of Vyasadev. It's a very beautiful few chapters that are coming up. So once we read these remaining few verses that are a little technical, we will read those and then we come to that chapter. Is there anything anyone would like to share?
माताजी मेरे को एक क्वेश्चन है 33 में लिखा हुआ है ट्रांसलेशन में व्हेनेवर अ पर्सन एक्सपीरियंसेस बाय सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन दैट बोथ द ग्रॉस एंड सटल बॉडीज हैव नथिंग टू डू विद द प्योर सेल्फ नाउ अगर प्योर सेल्फ इज द सोल ग्रॉस बॉडी इज आवर मटेरियल बॉडी व्हाट इज द सटल बॉडी
द सटल बॉडी इज द माइंड इंटेलिजेंस इन द फॉल्स ईगो
थैंक यू
is covered by the subtle body of the mind intelligence and the false ego, and then based on the desires that are there or the type of enjoyment that one wants, one gets a particular befitting gross body. So based on the subtle body, like we see in the Bhagavad Gita there are pictures, right? There's a picture of a naked woman, so that in her mind that woman likes to be naked, so then next life they might, or man or woman, I mean it doesn't matter. Because they like to be naked, the next birth, the next gross body that they will get would be a tree. Because in the mind, the subtle body has that conception and wants to enjoy in that way, so then the Lord gives you that type of gross body. So when the person changes bodies and goes and continues in the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, he leaves one gross body and goes to the other, but the subtle body is not left behind. The subtle body, which is a subtle covering of the soul, continues. Unless one takes to devotional service of the Lord, he will keep causing us to get different types of gross bodies.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Anyone would like to share?
No, I wanted to ask you to share. You said, remember in the same verse of 33, you said that you felt that even for a split second, but you did feel that you are a pure self and you could, you know, you could detach yourself from the material body and connect with the God instantly. So I just want to know, when was that and how did that happen?
I said we all have felt that at some point, I'm sure. That realization the Lord gives. So sometimes when we may be hearing lectures, and when, say, when we have visitors in the temple or Hari Vilas Prabhu's lectures, when the way they speak, they uplift us from ourselves. They help us transcend ourselves. So sometimes through the matter they are presenting and their own purity, sometimes one may feel, oh, I'm not, because of when they are giving that message and you're sitting in class, you might get that experience that, no, I'm not this body, I'm actually spirit soul. You will feel that. Or sometimes when you are, sometimes when maybe you are doing some service, maybe we are cooking in the temple for Radha Neela Madhav, or when we are engaged in any service for the Lord, maybe it's dressing the deities or reading Bhagavatam or hearing shlokas, we feel something different. So maybe somebody feels ecstatic or something. For that moment we feel very intensely, that small split second we might feel very intensely about the Lord or about serving the Lord, about or about, you know, taking up the mission or taking up the process more seriously. So in that particular moment, I'm sure all of us have felt like that, then for that moment you are acting on the platform of the soul, you know. Like suppose we are serving somebody, comes to our home, so devotees come home, or we are hearing kirtan, or we are organizing a program, you feel that little bit happiness. That happiness is not material happiness, that happiness is the happiness that you are feeling at the level of the soul. So I am sure you all have had that experience. Sometimes when we see the deities, then we might feel that sometimes, that I am servant of the Lord, and not all of these things I identify with. You may not even think I'm not so many things I identify with it, but you will feel that connection. You feel like different from what you normally feel about within yourself, and you feel that connection with the Lord. So in that moment, you are feeling that for that split second, you are feeling that your spirit soul, like that. And this is said by Radha Krishna Prabhu in his. When he was teaching us Bhakti Vaibhav, you know, for that moment we might be in Bhava stage or Prema stage. We will be
acting on the platform of the soul. So my realization is that, I can say this is my realization. The more and more we engage in the devotional service of the Lord, there's something I read in the Bhagavatam, and I started reading Bhagavatam again, so that I can again associate with Srila Prabhupada's purports and also find out where I read that particular thing. So somewhere Prabhupada says that we identify with the body very strongly and it's very hard to give up that identification. Now we all want to be situated in the platform that I'm spirit soul and not this body, and then we use the body to further that goal. Now it's very hard to move from there to this, you know, from the material conception to the spiritual conception. So Prabhupada said that we engage not only our gross body in service of the Lord. Just 1 minute. Yeah, so we engage our gross body in the service of the Lord. So that's why we physically we are doing services. We may be, you know, some are engaged in deity worship, some are engaged in cooking, some are engaged in cleaning. So that is a way to engage the physical body in the service of the Lord. Now the gross body. Now we also want to engage our mind intelligence in the service of the Lord, right? So therefore we chant and we hear and we meditate on the past tense and we repeat the past tense and we do Krishna Katha, so that more and more our subtle body is also engaged in that and not engaged in thinking about matter. See, if we don't do, for the times we are not doing service or our duties at home, we are doing something else. For the times we are not thinking about Krishna, we are thinking about something else. Now, we can't think about Krishna all the time. It's easy to physically engage ourselves in the service of the Lord. Right? You'll see many people, they'll come and do service and all, but they may necessarily not take up the process of spiritual life. Right? Now, it's difficult to engage the subtle body. But for us, the way to do that is to, it's something that we can do, is maybe every year, try to increase your services that you do for Sri Sri Radha Neela Madhav. Because we may not be thinking about Radha Neela Madhav, but at least while we are thinking about, you know, the technicalities, okay, how do I do this service? I have to call this devotee, I have to do this, I have to do that. Then I have to do this, then I have to execute this. So then more and more we are thinking about the services of the Lord, something connected with the Lord. Devotional service is not different from the Lord. And more physically and mentally we are engaged in the service of the Lord like that. So the more and more we do that, and more we increase that, and more we are acting from the platform of the soul, and gradually this subtle body, this mind and false ego that takes us in different directions will get dissolved. The bad things, the dirty things will get cleansed, and we'll be more and more situated in the eternal position of the soul. So we all desire that I don't want to act from this place of, from this material conception that I have. I want to act from a place of spiritual conception, and we all struggle. So this is what Prabhupada says. So the more and more we engage in the service of the Lord, then gradually we are lifted out from the material conception and we are situated in the spiritual conception, and the subtle body gets dissolved, and then we are more and more identifying with our position of eternal servant of Krishna. So like that. So sometimes when we increase our services also, every year try to challenge yourself. Do something more than what you got used to the previous year. For the Lord, and of course keep the balance of your children. Like, some of us may be more, one more thing I want to clarify is that it's not that you got to come and serve in the temple all the time. That's not what we are saying. Just do, we have our duties towards our children and our husband and our household, and that is also devotional service to the Lord. And we're going to learn how to see it like that through the Celebrating True Womanhood course that we do on Thursdays on the phone. So every year try to increase some service that we do, or if, you know, at home we may not be able to increase what we do, but then maybe we increase our diligence towards our children and diligence towards our household chores and all that, because all that is also service to the Lord. That is our devotional service based on our varnashram as women. Does that help, Sangeeta Madhuri?
It helps, but yeah, you said we tend to feel, everyone at some point or other will feel it, right? So I'm just waiting for that wow moment. Yeah. Let's see if that happens.
But one thing is that the spiritual life is I mean, we should not be after that wow moment?
No, obviously not, yeah. No, because I seriously thought that, okay, we are so covered and, you know, it's so difficult to cleanse our sins, you know, it's a gradual process, right? So I've been only patient. And when you said that, okay, you know, that you have felt, I was like, wow, okay. It's not surprising that you have felt, definitely not. But at the same time, I'm curious to know how you felt and how it felt, you know, moreover.
All I've felt, I'm not saying I've had the many wow moments, I'm just generically sharing like that, you know, when... See, it's something like you know, that feeling that when you do some service very nicely, so you feel a connection with the Lord, right? It's not that I felt some wow moment like that. It's a different kind of bliss that you feel when you do something very sincerely for the Lord, when you know
I think in retrospective now, if I think about whatever experience I've had, if I could count on anything, I think it was one experience I really felt so good. Was when I had to serve Umapad Maharaj at my house, the one and only time that he could make it here, because now he stopped visiting homes, right? So that feeling, I'm telling you, to see him laugh like a child, you know. He does crack jokes during his lectures, but Mansata Prabhu, you know, being a close associate with him, he in fact was amazed to see him laugh like a child, and he said, you know, this is the only second time I've seen him laugh like that. One was at, with somebody else apparently, and the second time was at my house. Because I don't know what it was, I just asked him, if the others have to leave, please do so, you know, I don't want to hold anybody up. But I just want to share this personal experience, you know, because I still date, I am so elated, you know, thinking of that experience, because I really, heart of hearts, I want him to, you know, I want to have him over and serve again, to see that laughter that he had. I just casually, when I was serving him, I just casually asked, Maharaj, how is the prashad? I hope you're enjoying it. And actually speaking, I was a neophyte, totally, okay? It's just that Mr. Gauram Prabhu, I told him earlier, you know, when any Maharaj comes, I would like to serve him, so please let me know there's an opportunity like that. So he said, okay, we have this opportunity, would you like? I said, yeah, no problem, anytime. So then he came, and then as soon as he entered into the house, I have this plate here, you know, which says, God bless our home and all those who enter. He read that, and I was just closing the door behind him after he entered into the house, and, you know, he just looked back, and he just smiled at me. Then I was thinking, man, he's the only person who has noticed that. This is way up on somewhere on the wall, and nobody else could have noticed it. And I was like, wow, he really noticed it. And then he really was glad, I guess. And then when he came in, we just got talking, and I was serving him rotis, and spelt flour roti is what he takes. Then he was like, okay, so he would keep talking more and then eat less. And I would want to serve him only hot rotis, because that's what we do, right? When guests come, we want to make sure that they get hot food. So every, you would take few bites out of a roti, and I would replace that with a new one. Because I am faster in making rotis than him eating. So I would just go, and then he's like, oh, I'm not even done with this yet. And I said, it's okay, Maharaj, I want your leftovers. You know, somebody told me, Mahaprasad, please save for me, okay, and bring it to me. So I thought, oh, okay, Mahaprasad means something like this. So I didn't get that word Mahaprasad. I said, no, Maharaj, it's okay. We want your leftovers, you know. And then he just chuckled there. And then after that, I just asked him, Maharaj, I hope you're liking the prasad. I hope it is okay. And then, you know, he started narrating this pastime. And it was so blissful, you know, the way he narrated it. He said there was this Gopa who went back to Godhead, and he was dying to see Krishna. So he was waiting, you know, on the street to see Krishna. I guess you must be knowing that pastime, right? I don't elaborate on that. And then he said, one more pastime. Then he said he just fainted there, and then Krishna just picked him up and hugged him, and then he took him to his home, and Nanda Maharaj, everybody was seated at the table, and they were all eating food. When Radha comes with laddus, and she offers laddus to everybody, everybody is like, you know, happily eating, and then they are glorifying her laddus, okay, except Krishna. Krishna is being naughty as is, right? So then he tells her, oh, you know, it's okay, it's so-so, and, you know, she's feeling very sad that, okay, he's the one not appreciating it, and while others are enjoying it, and stuff like that. So he's just happily, you know, he's like happily eating, at the same time, he was like chuckling and laughing, you know. Maybe he was in the passion at that moment. And I was enjoying it too, but then Anshul Prabhu immediately he pointed out and he said, you know what, this is the second time I've seen him laugh like this. And I was like overjoyed to hear that. I said, oh wow, it's such a privilege to see him that way then, right? So I've always had that anxiety, that restlessness to have him over and to serve him again, to connect with him again the way he connected that time, you know. It was really, really fun. And it was an ecstatic experience, I must say. Yeah, I will never ever forget that moment. Yeah. Maybe this is what you mean or something. I don't know what it is. But it was just so
that moment you feel you are, because the power of the great souls, like Ramapad Swami, they put us in that spiritual realm because they themselves are always in that spiritual realm and spiritual conception. So even the way they will look at us or communicate with us is from the platform of seeing us as a spirit soul, not seeing us as a ball of, because they have that vision. So when they see us like that and they interact with us at that level, then for that moment we feel, they give us a glimpse of that spiritual realm, they give us a glimpse of who we are. So yeah, something like that, where you feel more in the spiritual conception of life, and so at that moment it is more about feeling like spirit soul. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing nicely.
I mean, I still remember him that way, okay. I've always felt, you know, oh, I want to see that chuckle again, you know, the way he laughed. And it was not as if in the means, as means of delivering a lecture or some kind of message, you know, he did it. I think he probably was in that mode already at that point, you know, as if he was actually there with Krishna. And that's the, you know, vibration I got from him. It was really amazing. And I was so happy to serve him at that point, right? Yeah.
Very nice. I'm happy you had that experience. So yeah, this is what I was referring to, that spiritual experience. It's, you know, feeling that spiritual experience. So thank you so much for sharing. Is there anything else from anyone? Or we will see you all on Thursday, the second part of the Celebrating True Womanhood course. Same time, same number.